I invite you to rise for our reading. On the back of your bulletin for this morning, you will find our psalmody, our Psalm 73. We're reading select verses. Please join me there responsively. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than a heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loudly. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. And is their knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon earth that is I besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Please be seated. I was standing in a parking lot next to a row of dumpsters that were open and very full, and there was an elderly woman, probably in her early 80s, very hunched over, with a large stick in her hand, and she was trying to find food for herself. And she was chasing away birds with the stick while she dug through the dumpsters to find food. I was in the country of Ukraine. I was over there with a vacation Bible school project that we were helping with. And I happened to be behind these apartment buildings, and I saw this poor elderly woman trying to find food out of dumpsters. And I felt so badly for her, but I didn't have a lot of money on me. And I came up and offered her just a few dollars. That's all I had. She took me over to her little place where she lived. It was a little hut not far from those dumpsters. And I wanted in some way to connect this with Christianity and my faith. I couldn't speak her language. She couldn't speak mine. So I made the sign of the cross as I gave her the money. I wanted her to connect it to Christianity and to Christ. And she started to cry and tear up. And she made the sign of the cross. And she started to act so appreciative of that. A couple days later, I was with a friend of mine I was staying with in Ukraine, and we happened to drive by on the road a very big, beautiful car, unlike most of the cars over there. And I said, "Wow, that looked like somebody important." He said, "That's someone from the Ukrainian mafia. They're known for selling drugs and stealing from people, and they've made a lot of money on the black market." And I thought, think of those two different ends of the spectrum. Here you have this probably Christian woman having to find food out of a dumpster, living such a difficult life. And here is this rich person with all of their wealth and yet has no concern for the commandments of God and living according to the things of God. Sometimes we look at how things go in the world and we just think, there's no justice in this world. Things just aren't fair. Malachi says, "The proud are raised up, and those who tempt God go free." And isn't that the case? So often, people who are just full of evil in this world and just don't care how they live, their lives oftentimes get advanced. Sometimes, because of their evil, they even get more money. They have no pangs of conscience about it. They have no trouble in their heart about how they're living and what they're doing to other people. So frustrating. And then, meanwhile, Christians, believers, are oftentimes kind of toiling and labor with things in life that don't always go their way. Sometimes their lives can be very difficult, and They're diligently trying to process everything in their life according to the Word of God and trying to live according to the commandments of God, trying to show their love for their Savior who died on the cross for their sins. And they're trying to bring their lives in line with God's will, and things just don't always seem to go very well for them. So sometimes it seems like striving to live a godly life as a believer in Christ doesn't really get us anywhere. Sometimes it might even set us back. Sometimes it hurts us in life to follow God's will. And we have to certainly put up with the ridicule of the world. The man who wrote the psalm we just read, his name was Asaph. Asaph stops and looks at all of this in the world and how this happens. And he says, "Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence." In other words, going through the process of repenting of my sins before God and asking for his forgiveness doesn't seem to get me anywhere. He says, "For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning." So all of this concern that the Christian has in this world of caring about the things of God and letting their consciences be troubled and asking God to forgive them and striving against sin in their life and trying to obey his will, it just doesn't seem to get us anywhere. And the world often comes to us and says, "Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it for you to follow this faith? What are you getting out of it? You're wasting your life. You're wasting your life on Christ." That's the way the world talks to us. And you know, sometimes our hearts kind of nod in agreement. We kind of think, you know, maybe that's true. Maybe I'm following this thing and building my life and my hope on it, and it's just not going to pan out. Sometimes when we try to make sense of how things go in the world, we can come up with three logical, reasonable conclusions. There's really no God. Or maybe the God that's up there isn't very strong, he's not very powerful. Or maybe the God who's up there likes to kind of mess with us. Maybe he kind of enjoys watching us have to struggle and suffer and have difficulty, even in the lives of those who he considers as faithful. Now, that's how we process looking at the world by reason, by how we think. Asaph had done the same thing until you get to the point in the psalm where there's suddenly a turn. Listen to what he says. He says, "When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. But then, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." When he goes into God's house, into the sanctuary, and hears the word of God, and processes all of this from the perspective of God's word and from the perspective of the coming judgment, suddenly there's a different way of understanding and looking at things. When he's in the presence of God's word and when he hears God's word being taught to him about what really matters in life and how we should be looking at life, suddenly it all starts to fall into place. So, when we come into God's house and we hear God's word explain things to us, it gives us at least, you might call it, a partial resolution to understanding all of this. Here we see the mysteries of God's governance, how God governs the world in ways that we don't always understand, and yet he promises us he always has the good in mind for his faithful, especially the good that will take us ultimately to life in heaven. Listen to what Martin Luther once said. "All of this confusion is cleared up by the light of the gospel and the knowledge of grace, which teaches us that though the wicked flourish in their bodies, yet they perish in their souls." So when we come into the house of God, we learn and understand God is still in control. He is working even through all of this. And he has given us the greatest hope that we can ever have, that of everlasting life in heaven, and we have that through faith in our Savior. Just hold on to that, and God will bring us through this. So faith latches onto those promises of God, and even though our reason struggles with things, it won't let go. Years ago, I had to go visit a lady from a church I was serving who just wasn't coming to church. a delinquent member. And so I had to go to her house and try to convince her to come back to hear God's word. And she said, I know, I should do that. Her husband was sitting in the next room and listening to all of this. He was not a member and by his own admission, not a believer. And he yelled out to me from the living room, you know, the church is sure out of touch with reality. And you know, from the world's perspective, he was right. The church, from the world's perspective, is completely out of touch with reality. But from heaven's eternal perspective, the church is the only place where you hear actual reality, where you really deal with the fact that we are sinful before a holy God, and yet by his grace, through Christ, he's forgiven us, and by faith in him, we have the hope of life in heaven. And above all things else, that's what matters the most. So right now, sometimes we struggle when we look at the problems of evil in this world and even in our own lives, and we may wonder where God is in all of this. And yet the Lord says, trust in me, trust in my word, and look forward to your home in heaven. And for now, the just shall live by faith. Amen.